When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Laura Hathaway, and you are listening to Gospel Tangents.
It's the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to learn a new Book of Mormon geography theory. It's called the Delmarva Peninsula Theory, and we're going to be speaking with Laura Hathaway about it. Now, Delmarva stands for Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. So it's on the East Coast, kind of the Chesapeake Bay area. It kind of ties in with Heartland a little bit. And so Laura's going to tell us more about this. You won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out. Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm excited to have an amazing Book of Mormon expert, and she's got a new, at least new to me, Book of Mormon theory that I've never heard of. So could you tell us your name, and do you have a name for your theory?
Laura Hathaway is my name, and the theory does not have a name. I'm just going to call it The Right Book of Mormon Land for now.
Okay, I'm going to give you a name. I think it should be called the Delmarva Peninsula Theory.
Yes.
Well, it was funny because I was like, Delmarva, what the heck is that? So tell us why it's called Delmarva.
So Delmarva is taking Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia and combining it because it has all three states in that peninsula. And my theory is a little bit different than the regular Delmarva theory that's been out since the 90s at least, because I'm encompassing some extra land that makes everything make sense, that makes everything flow perfectly. So it's the Delmarva extended version theory.
The extended Delmarva. So you're the second goer of this.
There's at least two people ahead of me. There was a student at BYU. He was a nursing student in 1996, I believe. Mm-hmm. There was an article in BYU newspaper. And he proposed it there. And then Franklin Reed has a book out, and you can find it on Amazon. And he says it's the Delmarva Peninsula, just the Delmarva Peninsula. So it's not exactly my theory.
This is funny because I feel like I'm kind of I'm the Book of Mormon geography expert, but I never heard about it until a month or two ago when you emailed me and said, hey, I got a theory. And I was like, what? I've never heard of this one. And I love it because it's a peninsula. Mm-hmm. It's in the United States.
Yes.
And so Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, it's kind of that area. It's a little north of Florida.
Yep.
So tell us more about it. And how did you decide that was the Book of Mormon land?
So it was actually my dad and my brother that my brother looked at a map. My dad and I were both looking at Book of Mormon geography, and we were leaning towards Mesoamerica, and I just had my twins, and so I was reading the Book of Mormon. I wasn't on Facebook yet. I didn't know what to do with my fancy new phone, and so I was reading the Book of Mormon a lot, and I just started wondering, well, how does this fit in? I want to see it on a map. And so we started looking at meso places, and I discussed it with my dad. And then my brother one day just looked at the map, and he's like, what about right there? You know, that fits. You know, surrounded by water, looked at the Delmarva, and so we started looking at it, and it doesn't – the problem with Delmarva, and why you probably haven't heard of it, is because people dismiss it. There's not – the mountains, it's a very flat peninsula. And so we have hills in the Book of Mormon, and there has to be a river side in, and there's rivers, but they're not really going north-south direction. And just the size of it, how would you not see Zarahemla if you're going from the land of Nephi? How do they miss it completely? So it's been dismissed so fast, and that's probably why a lot of people don't know about Delmarva theory. And my dad, he just thinks outside the box. And he just started looking around, and he saw on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay that land fits. And so he just, I don't know, he just has a different mind. And he started reading the scriptures, assuming that this is the land, and started pinpointing where the towns would be, and things just started falling into place. And so 8 years later, here we are, and have our wonderful theory.
Now, let me ask you quickly, because I'm sure some people are going to be interested and will want to check out. Do you have a website?
I do have a blog that I started a year ago, and I'm not a blogger, so I think it's bomland.blogspot.com.
Okay.
It's my blog so far.
So people can check it out.
Yeah, and I've got, I think 2 months worth of posts. So I think I had maybe 10 posts on there that gives you a feel for what it is.
And okay.
Ask me questions after you've read that. So...
Well,
there's
cool.
Maps on there so you can see what I'm talking about.
So one of the things I remember you pointed out to me was it's a north-south peninsula.
Yes.
Because Mezzo kind of looks east-west.
Yeah.
And they have, they have these explanations for why that's okay. But, yeah,
right.
It seems like north-south makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So what are the other advantages to Delmarva Peninsula?
The big one I discovered was that that area itself is below what's called a fall line. So there's an elevation change.
A fall line, not a fault line.
Yeah, F-A-L-L line is what they call it. Like geologists call it a fall line. And it's just a distinct change in elevation. So right above that, you have a more hilly area. It's called the pediment area. And when you're walking, if you're hiking, if you go down from that area down into the land, you will see different ecology, you see different animals. Are obviously know that you're in the coastal land. And so the down southward is more of a coastal land. Above it is more hills. But it's distinct. Like people said that they can tell when they come into that land. And Mormon, they talk about like we came into the land southward. It's not like they looked at a map and go, oh yeah, now we're in the land southward. They like knew just by walking that they were there.
Okay, so because of this fault line, there's a very different geography.
Yeah, geography, geology, ecology, just it's different. It's distinct.
Now, would we say it's kind of a Mediterranean-type climate?
Yeah, more so than anywhere else. It's definitely more temperate. Like, it doesn't get as hot in the summers, doesn't get as cold in the winters because of where it's located. So like, I know the Baja, I heard that interview, or I read that book about the Baja, and that's their big thing, is it's more Mediterranean, and so this fits more that.
Because I know the South America experts, and I'm having a hard time. I thought I had somebody lined up, but it didn't work out. So one of the big things they say for South America is Lehi brought seeds and they planted them, and that doesn't work so well in colder climates and things like that. So, like, I don't know, what do they have? Olive trees and things like that. Do they have that around there?
I don't think they have olive trees. And I don't know, they planted them and they grew abundantly. We don't know which ones took off and which ones they continued on with. But we do have barley. And I think that is a big thing that the Mezzo people might not have as... But they call it little barley, but they grew it in the colonial times.
Instead of maize and corn?
They did those. And they were farmers. They had, just like in the Book of Mormon, how they had bread for Jesus. They obviously were agricultural people, and these people were too. They're
okay,
evidence
so,
of them.
So this leads to what kind of Indians live in the Delmarva Peninsula, because I'm not familiar with it at all.
So what's interesting is all of the East Coast Indians believe that they were descendants from the Lenape Indians. The Lenape is called the grandfather tribe, and they're from Delaware. They're the Delaware Indians or the Lenape Indians. And you can Google that. That's like out there. Like multiple sites say that they're the grandfather tribe. And then there's obviously like lots of splits, but you have the Mantipony. I like that one because I thought Manti, it's not spelled the same, but there's the Mantipony Indians in that area. There's the Piscataway, there's just this group that was descended from the Lenape, and even as you go up the coast, they say that they're descendants from the same tribe that originated from the Delmarva. And I know this is probably, people are going to not like this, but I like Lenape. It's like the same syllables as Lamanite. Like, it starts with an L, and I know that's like pushing it, but you can't like ignore it. There's at least an L as it starts. So
all
it's
right,
a grandfather tribe. Sounds like Lamanite to me.
I really need to get Brian Stubbs on because he's done a lot of work. I know with the Uto Aztecan languages, yeah. and supposedly that's kind of related to Hebrew,
somehow
I guess.
Linguistic at all.
Yeah, so, and then...
But it is interesting that Lenape is pronounced differently from different tribes. So even though that's how I'm saying, that's how it's kind of said now, like other tribes would pronounce it slightly different. So we don't know how it was originally said either. So
you haven't had any language studies on it yet?
Not like that, no.
Okay. Well, cool. So what else? Tell us more about your theory.
Okay, so I have like a list of all the great things about my theory. The distances between... Okay, so you have a day's journey that's on the... between like the East Sea and the West Sea for Bountiful. And if you go across the peninsula, you get a reasonable distance. It's like, you know, between 14 and 20 miles. And then there's a reference to a day and a half's journey, right? And it says it's from the East to the West Sea. And what I propose is that follows the fall line. So it says the day and a half's journey is between the land Bountiful and the land Desolation. So the land southward and the land northward. And there's it says the line between them. We have the fall line, so it even has line in the word. But that distance is closer to between 35 and 40 miles, which would be more of a day and a half's journey. So I think that's really cool that they have a distinct line between the land southward and land northward that gives you the right distances, and you can have a shorter day's distance if you're down in the peninsula that would be more of a military, you know, defensive line across the peninsula. Let me just refer to my notes, all the cool stuff I have here. So one reason our theory is so amazing is that there's a reference to the sea that divides the land. And what we propose is the Chesapeake Bay is the sea that divides the land southward. So you have on the peninsula itself, on the Delmarva, what we propose is you have the city of Nephi, a lot of like Lamanite cities over there. And then you have Bountiful above that. That would be below, just right below the narrow neck, and then above that would be Desolation. And then there's the sea, so that's the east shore, right? And then on the west shore of the Chesapeake is where you're going to find Zarahemla. And then below Zarahemla, you would still have, eventually, like when you're reading the war chapters, you have Lamanites that have come over there at that point. So they're below that area too. So they're on the Delmarva, and you have Lamanites on below Zarahemla. I even propose that they're on the other side of the West Sea, and so when you have attacks with Helaman coming from the West Sea, they're coming from that area too. So they've expanded out. Nephites have expanded up. And so that's where I get the sea that divides the land. I think that's so perfect. So what's kind of confusing, and my dad came up with this verse, and it didn't make sense because I've always thought of an hourglass. You have to have the land southward, narrow neck,
land northward. Because of John Sorensen, right? Heartlanders just throw that thing out. They don't care.
No, but if you're reading, even people make internal maps, that's like, it has to be this way. But if you follow the map and read every verse, it fits perfectly to how it's phrasing things. You have, this is another thing people don't like, but it's got an east sea and a west sea, and then the Chesapeake Bay is going to be a west sea from the city of Nephi, but it'll be an east sea from Zarahemla. So that can't be a proper name. I know some people like it, east sea and west sea to be proper names, but it's just where you are is the sea east or the sea west of you. So they say, I'm from Zarahemla, and we've built stuff on the east sea, that's the Chesapeake Bay, but then in Alma 22 it says, you know, or talking about the West Sea from Nephi, then that's going to be Chesapeake Bay also. But that's the land that divides, or the sea that divides the land is the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay, so because yours is a little different. I'm glad you showed me a couple things before we turned the camera on.
Picture speaks a thousand words. We need to put a picture up here and I can stop talking.
Yeah. I took a couple pictures, so we'll probably be popping them in right here shortly. Because... I think most people think of the hourglass shape.
Yeah.
And so yours is a little different because the Delmarva Peninsula and what do you call the, where Zarahemla is?
I would just say the west shore.
Well, what would that be in modern today? That would just be Maryland. Virginia? Yeah. Maryland. Yeah. So that's Maryland.
Yeah.
So
you've it's right by Washington, D.C., which is interesting. I have Zarahemla within 20 miles of Washington, D.C. So that's how close these are. But Washington would be in the land northward.
Okay, so all of that is the land. So you don't. It's not like the peninsula is divided in half. The entire peninsula is the land southward, And then the land northward goes up even into Ohio and New York, it looks like, right? The Finger Lakes region,
the Finger Lakes,
is that right?
Yeah, and archaeologists have shown there's this place called Pig Point.
Pig Point?
Pig Point.
Pig.
Yeah, I keep saying pigs, but it's pig. It's right where I have the head of Sidon, is where they did a dig in I think it was 2009, I believe is when they started, through 2014. And they discovered so many, I think like 700,000 artifacts in that area, just in that area. So it was highly populated. What was your question before? I feel like I'm going off subject a little.
Well, the entire peninsula is the land southward, and then the land northward is everything above the fall line, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Even up into Ohio and New York.
Oh, that's where I was going with it. Okay. So they found that there's trade going on with the Ohio Valley and like the Finger Lakes.
Because I'm seeing some overlap with Heartland.
because it does. And they found that the Chesapeake, they said that must be like a major trading place because we have all these people coming through here, and you know there's this blade that was 10 inches long that they found, and lots of copper beads, and so they've like, I think it was actually in the 30s where they first made that proposal that there was this trade going on, but then they found lots of evidence that for sure there was trade going on with. So all those Nephites that went to Ohio, you know, they're coming. They're still tough. They're going out, they're coming back, and there's evidence of that in that area, okay, right by Sidon.
Because it seems to me, because I want to get distances, so the Delmarva Peninsula, how long is that approximately?
Oh, gosh. Okay, because what I had written down was, like, from the city of Nephi up to the Finger Lakes is a distance of 280 miles. Okay. And the distance from the city of Nephi over to Zarahemla, okay, I found Google Maps.
If
you go around the peninsula, then it's 180 miles. Okay. And so John Swordenson proposed, like, if you're going to have, you need to have something that's less than two times the distance from the city of Nephi to the land of many waters, okay, that it needs to not be a crazy distance.
So what's the distance between, across the Chesapeake Bay, between, is it the city of Nephi and the land of Zarahemla?
Yeah, so the city of Nephi and Zarahemla would be, if you went straight across the bay, it would be about 60 miles.
Okay.
So.
Which is a good journey.
It's a good journey, but if you get on the water, I mean, that's including the water, and maybe you can go faster on the water.
Okay.
But
aren't you paddling in canoes and things like that? That's going to take some muscle.
It will. They know how to do it. They're actually really good at it. When John Smith came, that's what they were taking him. They took him up, you know, up the Chesapeake and then up the Susquehanna River to another place, and they were really fast at it. And they even said, John Smith even has in his journals
like
a 3-day journey.
John Smith?
Yeah. So this is interesting because you know how it talks about a man coming or in 2 Nephi, and we always say it's Columbus that came. John Smith actually fits better with that description because he came right to the land. He mapped out the land. The people thought him to be the leader. He wasn't the leader, but they, you know, they initiated him. The whole Pocahontas story, which they say Pocahontas did not save him. They were initiated. They were like making him one of their chiefs, and that she wouldn't have been there because that's not how. Anyway, that's a different story. But so John Smith was in this land mapping out. He went up the Patuxent River, which I call Sidon, I mean, which is Sidon, and he went all around this land of the Book of Mormon. And then I even have this phrase that I've picked up on a couple different websites.
So Pocahontas was Lenape? Indian?
Well, not Lenape, but she was a descendant of the Lenapes. And yeah, she was, I think she was Manapony. Manapony. So, okay. Sorry. There's this quote that says, in 1608, Captain John Smith explored the Chesapeake Bay and sailed up the Patuxent River. His claim that heaven and earth never agreed better to frame a place for man's habitation lured many English colonists to America. And that's what the Book of Mormon says. It says a man came, and then all these people came after. And it was partly from his report is why people decided to come. Because if it wasn't for him, they would have all died. Like, he was negotiating and sometimes stealing from the Indians to feed the colonists. It would have fallen apart without John Smith. So I feel like that's a better description, since Columbus never came, never set foot on, you know, North America.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was a tangent, but what were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about distances. Okay, so distances. Yeah. So
how long is the peninsula, by the way?
The peninsula itself from the very bottom to the Narrow Neck would be 170 miles approximately.
Okay, so you've got 170 miles and then another 280 miles up to the Finger Lakes.
Well, the 280 that I was telling you about is from the city of Nephi, because there's the place in the Book of Mormon where they sent people to go find Zarahemla, and they couldn't find it, and they ended up in this land of many waters and ended up with some records that... yeah, so, you know, the Jaredites, they saw the destruction. They thought that the land of Zarahemla had been destroyed, but it was actually the Jaredites. So that distance from the city of Nephi up to the Finger Lakes is 280 miles approximately as the crow flies.
And how far down the peninsula is Nephi from the fall line?
It's about, so I have city of Nephi to the top of Delmarva is about 70 miles.
70 miles, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So
they would have landed in the south, Lehi, and then they would have journeyed probably 50 miles up to the city of Nephi. So they were far enough away that they were safe, but they were still having wars within a generation or two, correct? So they couldn't have been too far away. They couldn't be found, but so a distance of 50 miles is sufficient to be safe, to get away from his brothers, but then within a few generations, within a generation or two, they're having these wars with the Lamanites and Nephites were already having wars. So okay. I think that fits perfectly.
Okay.
The distances.
What else you got? So, I'm gonna let you get all the advantages.
I know. I probably won't get it all out.
I'll try to pick it apart later.
Okay. So let me refer to some things I have here. So we talked about barley. There's the Palisade villages. So they, you know, how it talks about they had timbers to protect the villages, but there's evidence of those. There's a city that's in this book, so this is, I don't know if you can see this. So this is like a children's book, but I found so much good information in this.
Okay.
It has
meet,
like...
What's it called?
It's called Meet... Oh, I'm going to butcher his name.
Nietzsche?
Yeah.
N-A-I-C-H-E. Okay.
It has a pronunciation here. It talks about how they had, like the political, how it was set up, is they had... Well, first off, there's like, it says the tribes had many kinds of chiefs for different purposes. The head chief was called the Tayak. The Tayak had to work just as hard as everyone else, and he did not get to make decisions alone. Holy people and a council called the Makakomoko advised him. During times of peace, chiefs called Wizos helped the Tayak. So if you think about the Book of Mormon, we have like secular leaders, and then we have religious leaders, and then we have war leaders. And did I already say that part about the war? So they had holy people that they conversed with. So Alma, like they said, they asked Alma where these people get across because he was the holy leader. They have just your secular leader, and then they have these chiefs, which, you know, Captain Moroni was one of the chief, would have been one of these war chiefs. Right. And they even have a name for it. So sometimes people say, oh, they didn't have the civilization, they didn't have the politicals. You know, Mesoamerica had enough people, and they had it set up where they could have it as is described in the Book of Mormon. But here, it's describing it exactly how it describes it in the Book of Mormon. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So you have all those chiefs, and then you have cities
Nietzsche is from the Delmarva Peninsula area?
So, yep, okay. So Chesapeake, it says, a native boy from the Chesapeake Bay area. Okay. So. He also references their cities, these towns. Well, this is one of their larger ones that had like 3,000 people just in that one place. And then they had these, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, so it says each town was politically linked to this bigger place, Moyon, I think is how this city is pronounced. So there was these smaller towns, but they were politically linked, just like how Zarahemla, you know, was like their main city, but these other towns were politically linked to Zarahemla. So it's the same idea. And so we have pictures of someone from, this picture is a colonialist drawing of it, but it has these palisade things over it, just like how they had timbers to protect them set up. And they're not just in teepees or whatever, you know, they have like these long houses, they're established people. So that's just a little bit about who these people are from my perspective.
Okay.
From my, yeah.
Cool.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Laura Hathaway. In our next conversation, I'm going to ask her some of the skeptics' questions.
Steel swords. What do you think about that?
That's a hard one because there is a place called Iron Heel, just north of, just right by the top of the Delmarva Peninsula, but in the peninsula itself, there's no metal. I don't know. The only thing that they could get it from is the Jaredites, because the Jaredites did live in that area. They could have been leaving things. They obviously had, you know, stuff that they had that could have been left over. I don't know why Nephi doesn't say, I found something and then smoltered it down, but that is a problem that there's no, like, in that area, the metal.
So you acknowledge that.
Thanks for listening to Gospel Tangents. If you'd like to support me, please subscribe at gospeltangents.com or on patreon.com/gospeltangents, or you can watch entire videos at youtube.com/gospeltangents. I really can't do this without your support. I'd love to do it full time, and I need a lot more people that are willing to help me out. So I'd really appreciate that. So thanks again for listening, and don't forget to check out some of our other videos.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound. Then buy two, get two free on select varieties of delicious Doritos, Tostitos, or Ruffles chips, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.